Okay, we start again. A very good morning, or should I say good night to the FASB. What is it like to get up 3:30 in the morning for your family?
Nothing better.
What have you got in that mug, Russ?
It's all coffee.
Okay, well, I hope we can give you some value for money here. Dana.
Okay, so over the last few months, we've had detailed discussions with users of financial statements, prudential regulators, auditing firms, accounting standard setters, and banks of various degrees of sophistications to receive feedback on whether the three bucket model is operational and whether the three bucket model or a lifetime expected loss model provides more useful information. The purpose of today's meeting is to talk about the feedback we received from that outreach and to ask the board about the next steps. Overall, the majority of respondents, that is including the users that we spoke to, support an impairment model that distinguishes between assets that have deteriorated from those that have not. As discussed in paragraph 14 to 19, the majority of the analysts we spoke to favor the three bucket model instead of a lifetime expected loss model. While many of them noted that a lifetime day one loss model would be less complex, the majority of the analysts noted that information about changes in credit quality is important to them and that they think that the three bucket model provides a better understanding of that. The second main message that we received, which was also consistent across all types of respondents, was concern that the criteria for when to recognize lifetime expected losses in the three bucket model was unclear. So although we were told that we should distinguish between assets that have deteriorated from those that have not, the general feedback was that the distinction that we have drawn was too unclear at the moment, and this is discussed in paragraph 21 and 22 and 39 to 52 in the feedback summary. So in addition to those two main messages that we received, we also had some respondents that raised practical concerns how the criteria would apply to retail loans. So in particular, they ask if delinquency information could be used to make the assessment for when to recognize lifetime loss models, and that is discussed in paragraphs 53 to 56. A few other responses that we spoke to questioned the conceptual merits of the three bucket model. In particular, they said that in the absence of convergence, they suggested to consider to go back to an approach like in the supplementary document, and they raised to go back to the TPA without the foreseeable future flow for the good book, or some of them even suggested to go back to the original ED. However, most of the respondents supported the three bucket models subject to the clarification that I just mentioned. While we received strong support for the three bucket model, there were some banks that said that the support is conditional. It is conditional in that sense that the benefit of the information resulting from that distinction must outweigh the cost and the operational complexity of obtaining the information. They felt that if assets move to lifetime expected losses based on any deterioration, the small resulting difference in the allowance balance compared to a lifetime expected loss model might not justify the incremental cost to the three bucket model. Based on the feedback provided, the staff think that the board should pursue a model that distinguishes assets that have deteriorated from those that have not. But we think that we need to clarify the lifetime expected loss criteria as it's discussed in paragraph 61. In doing so, we think it's necessary to consider some specific aspects that we laid out in paragraph 62. I think what might be helpful if we could first have a discussion whether the board agrees with the staff recommendation to pursue an approach that distinguishes between assets that have deteriorated from those that have not, and bring back papers that suggest how we could clarify the criteria. And once we've done that, maybe then we talk about the paragraph 62.
And the staff sees good opportunities to clarify the transition.
Yes, we've looked at the feedback that we received in respect to the lifetime loss criteria. And at the moment, we were very broad, because when we've made that decision, we said that we wanted to keep it at the principal level and don't want to go into more detail. But what the response came back to us was that they would want to have more details on when to recognize lifetime losses. So I think there are several factors that we can address.
Wego.
Now, remember, several months ago, FSB decided to walk away from the original joint derivations and the 2-4 lifetime model.
Yeah.
And for two reasons. One is they worry whether, you know, they will provide enough. And second one is the lines between the, you know, original ones and the lifetime will be very complex. Mm-hmm. But you just said users view day one full-time lifetime expectation will be simpler than 12 months. I'm not understand.
So basically, I guess the users obviously noted or said that the lifetime loss model would be less complex because there's not this distinction between 12-month and lifetime expected loss. But they still think that it's worth to pursue, and it is important to pursue, a model that distinguishes between assets that have deteriorated and those that have not. So to make a distinction, that was important to them. And I think, if I understand the discussions that the FASB had correct, is they didn't feel that it's worth to pursue clarifying the criteria because investors might be confused about having two measures, so 12-month expected loss and a lifetime expected loss. But that's not the feedback we received. Users still felt that it's important to distinguish between assets that have deteriorated and those that have not, and inevitable, unless we are at the original ED, you will have different measures.
So what, I just want to check, you know, originally you say the user's view, it is less complex to measure lifetime loss day one, but you just confirmed the less complex is because of the lines.
Everybody agrees that the simplest thing to do is not to have a transition from not to have a distinction between good loans and bad loans, and
yeah,
just consider them all to be impaired,
yeah,
which is basically what a day one loss means. But that it's conceptually, they would prefer to see a difference between indeed loans that have not deteriorated and loans that have deteriorated.
Yeah.
But that is a complex,
understand,
a more
understand,
complex solution.
Yeah.
And what the message we are getting is we are willing to accept that complexity,
yeah,
if it outweighs the cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul?
It seemed to me that all of the methods we're talking about do involve a continuing assessment of a loan. Even the lifetime expected loss, you don't just book on the day you make the loan and then close your eyes to what happens thereafter. So what I think the discussion really is how much, at what point will users find it useful to know about the deterioration? I understand that perhaps our three bucket model is a little complicated. I look at our time proportionate allocation as also a method of, it still involves signaling deterioration, because at some point we will have at least two buckets, a good book and a bad book, and loans have to transfer. So if we're looking, if we all agree that we want to signal deterioration at some in some way, maybe what we need to do is look at a simplified way of signaling the deterioration. And I'm certainly open to that. And maybe I'll just stop there.
You're right, Paul, in the sense that both the supplementary document and the three-bucket approach make a distinction between good loans and bad loans, and it makes a distinction in a different way.
Yeah. So we're discussing really
how to make that distinction, and that's where that's difficult.
And the complaint about where we are with our three-bucket model is we've kind of got a hair trigger.
People say we do. People don't really... A lot of people just say they just don't know what we mean. Yeah. The word not more than insignificant to a lot means any deterioration at all, even if it's trivial.
That's the hair trigger.
That's their concern. Yeah. They're scared it will be interpreted that way by their auditors and regulators, I think. And also they just don't know what reasonably possible means. They say, what are you asking us to do? We don't know. And so they want clarity.
But picking up on Paul's thoughts, would like to echo what you're just saying, that all these models involve developing an expectation about losses. So they all involve an assessment of deterioration. And it's a question of where your starting point is. You could start with, no expected loss and develop an expectation, or you could start with a lifetime loss and develop an expectation of change. I think what the staff has outlined here is a very nice roadmap to actually helping the preparer community and the investor community that you talk to better understand the model. So rather than, there's a temptation, I think, here, when you hear all this diverse feedback, to want to go back here or go back there. I think we should stay with the model that we have developed thus far, but continue to refine the guidance to make it more understandable. And the reason I say that is this. When you go out and you talk to credit analysts and people with credit backgrounds in these organizations, a lot of these stuff that we've been talking to them resonates with them because this is their bread and butter. This is what they do. They are paid to make these kinds of judgments, and they're comfortable in that environment. If you talk to an accountant, they say, I'd really like to have a bright line as to when, or give me something I can hang my hat on when I can go from this point to that point. So acknowledging that that's a valid concern, I think the staff should in fact try to be responsive to the points in paragraph 32. And I think some of the ideas that we've talked about at this table, as well as in informal discussions with the outreach process could go a long way to alleviating that concern that this is just way too complex. Probably the single biggest one is maybe refining what we mean by this more than insignificant. So if we allay the concern about that being a hair trigger, and then we put some indicators around that, I actually think this could be very operational. Because when I think back to what I used to do, these are the kind of judgments that credit people get paid to make every day, and they don't find it to be rocket science. It's a judgment call. And then transferring that into accounting information will follow. So even if you start with a lifetime, you have to assess when to move it to, a different lifetime assessment.
Philippe?
Thanks. First, I would like to note that this is an excellent paper from the staff. It explains very well the problems, I think, very clearly. I have a follow-up question on the deterioration on paragraph 33. There is an assessment that if it is any deterioration rather than more than significant or whatever we use, then the cost of the model outweighs the benefits. My recollection of the meetings with various banks who had done some modeling exercise based on credit ratings, on moving as the credit ratings, on calculating the impact on the reserves of the deterioration, it was not a matter of cost of applying the model. It was a matter of having excessive reserves resulting from this any deterioration concept. I don't think the costs are any different. It's just that the outcome of taking any deterioration as a criteria for moving to a full lifetime would result in their view, in excessive allowances. A AAA loan, which becomes AA+ or whatever, if you move it to a full lifetime expected loss, they believe it creates...
Well, that's a very good example of what we certainly did not mean.
No, but if any deterioration is interpreted as AAA becoming AA plus means full lifetime, then obviously the impact on the reserves is incredibly high. And they modeled it. And I can't name the bank, but we saw very nice graphs. So I think it's very important that we are clear on this notion of what creates, what triggers the movement. And any is certainly not the answer. More than insignificant, I agree, is subject to various interpretations, depending how you understand it. So I think we must work on this concept of deterioration, what triggers the move. Also, I think the 12 months expected loss allowance for the bucket one is still a little bit unclear or needs to be refined, clarified. What do we mean? How do you do the calculation? But I think we can work on that. We can continue trying to refine and clarify what we mean. I have overall a feeling that people support the model, subject to having some clarifications, which I think we can do.
Bego?
Two questions. Or comment. One is, as I understand, you know, now people seem exaggerated the creep effect. But I don't think so, you know, because, you know, as time passed by, you will gradually increase the reserves based on assessment, even though not lifetime, but the loans already gradually deteriorated year by year. And I'm right?
So your allowance balance is always updated to new information.
Yes, yes.
So is, if your
yes,
credit
so
quality
deteriorates... This is why I say that people may be, you know, exaggerated the cliff effect.
Well, I think that the big disasters, like the American housing market and the Spanish housing market,
course,
are cliffs. Are cliffs.
Of course.
And they have not been predicted. And,
of course.
The cliff in this model, maybe just a touch or explain on this, results because you're switching from a 12-month expected loss to a lifetime. So although you're always updated, you're also switching from 12 months to lifetime. But that basically indicates sufficient or significant deterioration, and that was why we got the feedback from analysts that that's the information they find important, and that in a lifetime loss model it's sometimes not clear whether you have new loans or whether loans have deteriorated, and so the information, you know, it might be to some extent, I guess, confused or hidden.
And it's clear that there is a big difference between the 12-month estimates and the lifetime estimates, because otherwise people wouldn't be so obsessed about when they have to transfer.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
My second point is a suggestion. You know, of course, as board members, I will support to make it a clear operation of the criteria. But I hope, you know, we should not anchor too much on a particular factors. For example, in Asia, a bond market, corporate bond market, is not developed as, you know, well as in other developed nations. So, as I understand, the rating is not as popular as in developed other markets. So, if we anchor too much only on ranking, and then the model will not be operational in Asia region. I'm right?
I guess that's quite reasonable. I was just going to say, that's a trade-off with the bright line. The brighter the line is, you need more detailed information in order to make an assessment. Now, we always say you need to use the best available information, and I think that will have to remain.
And it's your internal assessment as well. So I don't know if you were referring because of the bond market in terms of if you look at external ratings or, yeah, you were referring to it because of external ratings. It's a management's assessment anyway.
We have also retail products, so we definitely have to use products anyway for which there are no ratings. So I just say we probably go down a route where you use the best information anyway, and for some corporate bonds there might be no ratings. That's fairly plausible.
Yeah. Yeah, on this, just related this one. In the case of Australia, also has some thin market about corporate bonds, you know, even Australia. So the ones, you know, we talked about the pension
Yes.
Improvement. Many countries already, you know, they don't have a good bond markets. So they cannot use corporate bonds to rate as a discount rate. So I, you know, the way Weiguo's comments is quite, you know, reasonable, because only some countries might have a good market for bonds.
Yeah.
So that's the problem if we use the,
So is the concern, if we set the criteria based on a benchmark, mm-hmm. you won't be able to see what the benchmark is?
What I want to say is we agree to your different factors.
Yeah.
Say you have to assess, but you should not anchor a particular factor, for example, rating.
Yeah.
It's no good, because those criteria are not applicable.
Yeah. Assuming the board agrees with the staff's thinking that we should bring back recommendations on how we should clarify the transfer criteria, we're thinking of two things. One is that we need to be more clear in terms of what credit quality we mean, but also we need to clarify what information you should use. And what we're thinking at the moment is that we really need to acknowledge the fact that there's a different spectrum of information available in different markets,
depending on
different products and in different institutions. So what ideally we need to try and craft is to encourage people to use the best information possible, but to acknowledge the fact that for some they have very little information, and potentially we need to acknowledge the fact that for some the best that they have, because of the way they manage credit or the market that they operate in, is something like delinquency information. And that's something we need to ask the board whether we'll accept. But we're very conscious of the fact that there is a broad spectrum of information. And personally, if that is the information that's being used to manage the credit, that would seem to me a reasonable basis to use as a foundation for the analysis. But we need to provide, and that's some of the clarity people are looking for.
So we will probably not be able to come up with one single bright line.
No.
It's almost like a fair value hierarchy.
Which we would not want anyway.
From the observable to the non-observable in a spectrum of...
Well, I agree with what Sue just said, and I probably can't add very much to it. I think it's clear that we didn't really have a principle by saying more than insignificant, reasonably possible. It wasn't a principle as such, because it all depends on how you interpret those words. So clearly we have to make the thing more bright line-ish, and it can't be a definitive bright line, but it has to go in that direction in order to make it operational. That's clear. I mean, that then creates a disadvantage to the model, because bright lines themselves create problems. So, you know, the model is by no means perfect, and I've objected to different aspects of it in the past, but I think it could be made operational as a result of the changes the staff is proposing.
Patricia.
I agree with what Steve just said. I think the staff should bring back recommendations on how to clarify what we mean by deterioration, and explore the notion of some sort of bright lines or something of that nature. But I also think that because a number of people we spoke to kept going back to the TPA approach that was outlined in the SD, I think it would be useful to recirculate the comment summary on the feedback we got on that SD, so to refresh our memories about why we walked away from that approach. So we're comfortable and we can respond to those that think we should go back there, why we don't think it's feasible. So I think it would be good to go through that exercise again.
I agree with Patricia. There are also national standard setters who urge us to, now that we don't have convergence anymore, to go back to the TPA approach, which had advantages. So I would encourage the staff indeed to do more than a meager summing up, but truly sketch the advantages and disadvantages of this approach. So that we can address well the suggestions that are being made to us in this respect.
And maybe try to think whether we can improve further from the SD.
But I wouldn't like to give the impression that that we're working on two models.
No.
We're working on this model. But
we know there was one objection that the straight line, creating the allowance straight line, could create some deferral when there is an early loss appearance pattern. And that we can overcome by modifying slightly the TPA.
Okay. Amaru.
Thanks, Hans. Just like to confirm my support to the direction the staff is proposing. It's clear not a perfect model on that. Since the inception, I think everyone agreed that conceptually our initial ideas were the best one, but we learned with a long process with the expert advisory group and with feedbacks and outreach in almost every continent that it was too much complicated. In an ideal world, that would be perfect. So I very much support the direction the staff is proposing. I would just reinforce again the Pat's idea, because I think it would be important for us to feel comfortable in responding to constituents why we are pursuing this model, because of course we are going to fight with some. Whenever we establish some bright lines, we are open up ourselves to fight, so we need to be comfortable and find some reasonable justifications for the bright lines. And just to reinforce, actually, again, also a point made by Weigu and Shanghu, that actually the I made this comment in the educational session. Ratings are not popular out of probably some bond markets in Europe and the U.S., so all Latin America as well is out of this rating popularity. So it is not only the corporate bond market, it's very meager, very small, but also the number of ratings. So I very much support what I guess Jana stressed, that at some point we also need to allow in some way the use of internal assessments for banks. I think this should be very well balanced, because we might hear about comparability again when we mention internal system, but I guess this is the result, natural result of the system we are following. I just would like you to comment. I guess you comment somewhere in the paper. What do you have in mind for non-financial? Because the paper is very much driven mostly for non-financial. Our discussions are generally to financial institutions or financial intermediaries. What do you have in mind for non-financial?
So for non-financial institutions, are you thinking about
ones with insurance
or trade receivables? Or which ones? Trade receivables, lease receivables?
We
already addressed the trade receivables and lease receivable and provided them with an option so that they don't need to make this distinction between a 12-month expected loss and a lifetime expected loss, because I guess the 12-month expected loss is most useful for those sophisticated banks that are on Basel to use. So we address that they don't have those measures.
Yeah, it's clear in the summary. So yeah. We do not, just to confirm that, we do not intend to rediscuss that.
No.
Just to make it clear.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Tak.
Yes, I would like to add incremental information which I heard and which I couldn't find in your paper. This is about the manipulation, the possibility of the manipulation. And somebody who I talked to are really concerned about the possibility of manipulation on the lifetime, day one lifetime expected loss model. Mm-hmm. Because when the banks start loans, most of the loans they make are originally sound and healthy at the beginning. And if you...
That's what we hope, yes.
Yeah, that's what we hope, yes. But if you ask us to provide a lifetime expected loss for every single loan, then there would be more room for the manipulation. So that's the concern which I heard from the many constituents, and especially from regulator side. And therefore, what they think is the bank should concentrate on the after the day one, should concentrate on monitoring the deterioration itself. That's why they think it's three bucket model. would be would provide more helpful information for the regulator as well. And especially the some concern is about the manipulation of the day one lifetime loss model, because it could enjoy the reversal of the provision later day. And also, in case of long-term loan, it's quite difficult how much provision would be sufficient. So it's quite hard to judge whether the provision itself is correct or not. So that is the thing I heard, and which I think would be incremental to your paper. And my preference is, of course, three-bucket model. And about regarding whether we should have a bright line or not, is I strongly against having the bright line with the same reason as Weigel mentioned.
I think Tucker addressed a very good point, which is, well, any expected loss model, for the very fact that it is expected losses, is highly subjective. And we have a huge, huge issue of reliability in this area of accounting. The earlier you make the estimates, the more subjective they are. If there are no indications yet that a loan is going bad, it is really can be quite a wild guess. And the more subjective, the more open to manipulation it is. So that is, I think, why also credit analysts and investors
would prefer a system where there is.
It was also a point that was mentioned by some of the investors that they were concerned about the judgment necessary in estimate lifetime losses from day one. Some investors did mention that specifically.
But obviously, our model will not be free of that danger either. It's the nature of the beast, I'm afraid.
It's true when you do an impairment test on your property, on your plant, which is making cars today in Europe, whether it's a capacity on the market, whether you make the impairment test today or tomorrow, you have more reliance. And if you wait 1 year more or 2 years more, it will be more reliable. Too late. Yeah. Too bad.
Paul?
I'd like to make 2 points. The first one relates to Asia, particularly Japan and Korea. It may be true that the bond markets are not as well developed as they are in the West. But corporations in those countries, because of the keiretsu and the chaebol, actually are funded far greater percentage by debt than equity than in the West. Actually, most of the companies, many of them are over 80% of their capital is debt. And so what that means is, even if you don't have a sophisticated market, somebody's got to account for this. Somebody's holding this debt, and you got to account for it. And so it's at least as important for us to get a good standard for them as it is for the rest of the world.
Is that still the case?
I don't know.
After the Asia crisis, is that the
effectiveness
of the chaebol still that high?
Yeah, Paul is a very good point, you know, but everything has changed after that crisis. So now, you know, we depend on the funding from the chaebol or keiretsu, but we are not using debts anymore. You know, just that maybe debt equity ratio may be below 100%. So it's the structure, capital structure, quite close to the Western style. So, but anyway, the point is a very good point in a way. Okay.
My other point is that when we talk about deterioration, we shouldn't lose sight of the starting point, because you start somewhere and then you start deteriorating. And to me, a model, the starting point ought to be as close to fair value on the day you make a loan as possible. And so when I would look at these various models, I wouldn't just look at, well, which one is the easiest to, or the most understandable for purposes of assessing deterioration, but I would also look at what's the starting point, what is the balance sheet showing on day one? Is it fair value or close to fair value, or is it miles away?
Stephen, did you want to get back in?
Please, yeah. A number of people have mentioned other models we've done in the past, and TPA and the original ED and others have mentioned the FASB. And whilst I strongly support the staff going ahead and developing the three-bucket model, I do think it's important that we stand back and review, and Hans, you said yourself that because we've broken away from the FASB, I think we do need to think about it. And I hope we can have a meaningful discussion with the FASB next month once they've finalized their model, so that we can really understand it and why they've gone down that route and have a proper discussion with them. The other point that I wanted to make about is about operational issues. And now this comes up in every model and the operational challenges. And the three-bucket model is not without its operational difficulties itself, and particularly if we have a model that relies heavily on deterioration. When we first talked about the line with the banks, there was a great reluctance from the bank's perspective to have a transfer based upon deterioration or largely based on deterioration. They would have much preferred something with an absolute line. It would have been much easier to implement. So if we do have a transfer that is based on deterioration, I think we are going to have a lot of problems resurfacing in terms of operational challenges. Amara mentioned the original ED and the operational challenges there. There are. I've never felt that they were as great as people said, and I thought there were ways to mitigate that, and there are operational challenges with the TPA model, with the weighted average life and the age. So all of these have operational difficulties. So we must be mindful of that when, if we go ahead with a three-bucket model,
I think if I may just make a comment on this, we are anticipating, if we think about clarifying the criteria to consider the operational challenges, and that there are two ways in how you can address this. Obviously, we have this one criteria about the line and the deterioration one. So one way of addressing this is if you have an earlier and high line, so that you have a high credit quality asset, then obviously deterioration needs to be meaningful or significant. It shouldn't be based on any deterioration or hair trigger. The alternative would be to have a lower line, but then to have a quicker movement into lifetime losses. So I think this is something we need to think about where we want to draw this line. I think in addition, I also think that we can address some of these operational concerns if we consider how the criteria would apply to retail loans and whether you would consider that loans can move to lifetime losses based on delinquency or not. But.
Jung-woo?
Just one clear explanation I need. On paragraph 32 in your paper, you said three-bucket approach might actually reduce allowance balances relative to those recognized today. Mm-hmm. So is it true, because you don't have any evaluation of this claim?
Well, here this refers to the U.S., in the U.S. So this is what U.S. regulators are concerned about with the three-bucket model, just because of how in the U.S. banks apply FAS 5, so they're kind of collective or IBNR type provision. And because of how they apply it, they're concerned that the three-bucket model would actually result in a reduction of the allowance balance.
That's very U.S. specific.
Yes.
The feedback we've had from our constituents outside the U.S. is that Based on their analysis of the model, and obviously they're speculating a little bit on where exactly the line is, but that there would be an increase in provisions based on the three-bucket model, in some cases quite a significant increase in provisions. So, and that's one of the tensions obviously we have had all the way through this project, is the starting places of the banks in different parts of the world is so different, it puts a lot of pressure on our ability to come to a converged solution.
Ian?
Yeah, I'd just like to back up a bit what Stephen and Pat and Amara in some way said, that we do need to stand back, but we can't do that until we know the US model. So hopefully by next month or the month after we can. But I'd just like to emphasize it's really important we keep moving forward on the three bucket approach and the clarification while we're waiting, because you know what I think about timeliness and all that. We can't afford to, and we shouldn't signal, I don't think, to our constituents that we're necessarily looking at any others at this stage. Of course, we've got to review, and of course we've got to have a good look at the US model when we know what it is. But I think the signal should be rather more that we're still proceeding with the three bucket approach very seriously at this stage.
Well, I think this is an appropriate conclusion for this discussion. So we ask the staff to move on, to provide more clarity about the deterioration notion. And that will be the main product that we expect from you in the next 14 months.
Yes? In paragraph 62, we had a number of specific points that we'd raised. Does board members have any sort of observations on those or any feedback they wanted to give us in terms of direction of travel to help us shape the papers? Staff have already got some ideas of our own in terms of where we think we might move things, but if you had any contributions you wanted to make now to keep us on track, that's always welcome.
I guess I've already shared some of these thoughts with Jana already, but I think one of the points that she articulated earlier is I think it is important to distinguish between the retail and the commercial book or large institutional type. There's no question that they're managed differently. That's one cut. I think it's also important to distinguish between assets that originated generally at a high credit quality and those that typically are not, so the prime versus subprime. So if you think of a matrix of high-low commercial retail, I think we'll have to tailor our kind of indicators and our guidance accordingly. One brush won't fit everything here. So I think the path that you've signaled or hinted at here is the right way to go. And, you know, as we've done in many projects, and I think the formula has worked well, many times we'll state a principle, and as some people have said, we may not have a principle here. Maybe we need to revisit that, but state a principle, come up with a series of indicators, and sometimes there might be a practical expedient, you know, to help somebody understand how to get over the line. I think that kind of framework for articulating the guidance would be useful here.
Thank you very much. We reconvene at 12:30 for a Jones meeting with the FESB on revenue recognition.